past six patrols. Don Mathers said nothing. His face remained expressionless.
"The mechanics report that they could find nothing wrong with your engines, Lieutenant?"
"Sometimes, sir, whatever is wrong fixes itself. Possibly a spot of bad fuel. It finally burns out and you're back on good fuel again. But by that time you're also back at the base." The Commodore said impatiently, "I don't need a lesson in the shortcomings of the one-man scout, Lieutenant. I piloted one for nearly 5 years. I know their shortcomings, and those of their pilots."
"I don't understand, sir."
The Commodore looked down at the ball of his thumb. "You're out in space for anywhere from 2 weeks to a month, all alone. You're looking for Kraden ships, which practically never turn up. In military history, the only remotely similar situation I can think of were the pilots of World War I pursuit planes in the early years of the war, when they still flew singly, not in formation. But even they were up there alone for only a couple of hours or so."
"Yes, sir," Don said meaninglessly.
The Commodore said, "We here at command figure on you fellows getting a touch of space cafard once in a while and, imagining something wrong in the engines and coming in. But," here the Commodore cleared his throat, "four times out of six? Are you sure you don't need a psych, Lieutenant?"
Don Mathers flushed. "No, sir, I don't think so."
The Commodore's voice went militarily expressionless. "Very well, Lieutenant. You'll have the customary 3 weeks' leave before going out again. Dismissed."
Don saluted snappily, wheeled and marched from the office.
Outside in the corridor he muttered a curse.
What did that chair-born brass hat know about space, Cafard?
About the depthless blackness, the wretchedness of freefall, the tides of primitive terror that swept you in the animal realization that you were away, away from the environment that gave you birth, that you were alone, 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 a million million miles from your nearest fellow human. Space Cafard in a craft little larger than a good-sized closet. What did the Commodore know about it?
Don Mathers had conveniently forgotten the other's claim to 5 years' service in the Scouts. He made his way from Space Command Headquarters, 3rd Division, to Harry's Nuevo Mexico Bar. He found the place empty at this time of the day and climbed onto a stool.
Harry said, "Hi, Lieutenant. Thought you were due for a patrol. How come you're back so soon?"
Don said coldly, "You prying into security subjects, Harry?"
"Well, gee, no, Lieutenant. You know me. I know all the boys. I was just making conversation."
"Look, how about some more credit, Harry? I don't have any pay coming up for a week."
"Why, sure. I got a boy on the light cruiser, New Taos. Any spaceman's credit is good with me. What'll it be?"
"Tequila." Tequila was the only concession the Nuevo Mexico Bar made to its name. Otherwise it looked like every other bar had looked in every land and in every era. Harry poured, put out lemon and salt.
Harry said, "You hear the news this morning?"
"No, I just got in."
"Colin Casey died." Harry shook his head. "Only man in the system that held the Galactic Medal of Honor. Presidential proclamation. Everybody in the system is to hold 5 minutes of silence for him at 2 o'clock, Sol time. You know how many times that medal's been awarded, Lieutenant?"
Before waiting for an answer, Harry added, "Just 36 times." Don added dryly, "28 of them posthumously."
"Yeah." Harry, leaning on the bar before his sole customer, added in wonder, "But imagine. The Galactic Medal of Honor, the bearer of which can do no wrong. Imagine! You come to some town, walk into the biggest jewelry store, and pick up a diamond bracelet, and walk out, and what happens?"
Don growled, "The jewelry store owner would be over-reimbursed by popular subscription, and probably the mayor of the town would write you a letter thanking